The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hi, this is Jerry from Remnant. Let's be honest, this life can be hectic, draining, and downright confusing. My hope is that by listening to this message, your life can be impacted by God's great love for you, and His love will give you wisdom, courage, and strength. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jerry Godsey.
Good morning, Remnant peeps. How's life? Okay. Today, we're back in our series on the Apostles' Creed. Today, we're on lesson 8. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. Now, there's a lot to go over today, so let's pray and get on with it. God, thanks. Lord, I pray that you'll bless us and open our hearts, Lord, because this seems like a throwaway phrase, but it is so important. Thanks, God. Bless us now. We ask it in your name. Amen. Let's go back to the creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. So think about, we're halfway through the creed. All the things we've covered so far. Let's keep going. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So, talk about Jesus ascending and sitting at the right hand of the Father. And again, this is one of those things like, okay, yeah, that's where he is. He's in heaven. But there's so much meaning here. So we're going to get into it. When most people think about Jesus, they think about the manger, the miracles, the cross, the resurrection. But one part kind of gets glossed over, and that's his ascension. That's him going up. The creed says he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. Now, the ascension can seem a little weird to us, right? Jesus is there, and then all of a sudden, you know, Scotty, beam me up. No, Jesus rises into heaven. The disciples are standing there scared, staring into the sky, and the angels show up saying, "Where are y'all standing around here looking up?" Kind of sounds like a magician who disappears from the stage, and everybody in the audience is trying to figure out what happened. The ascension is not the strange ending of Jesus' ministry. It's the triumphant continuation of it. Jesus' ministry does not end with his ascension into heaven. It continues. Acts 1:9-11. After saying this, he was taken into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. As they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go." So, the ascension was Jesus' return to glory. Understand this. The ascension was not Jesus disappearing. It was Jesus returning to his rightful place. We talked about being fully God, fully man. We said he left heaven to come down to be one of us. His task here is finished. His last words on the cross, "It is finished." Now he's gone back home. Gone back to heaven. Jesus came down in humility, but he's going back in glory. Philippians 2:8-9, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names. Think about this journey. He came as a baby, born into poverty, rejected by many. They hunted to try to kill him his first 2 years of life. Crucified on the cross. But after the resurrection, everything changed. The ascension is heaven welcoming King Jesus home. Imagine a victorious general. If you ever watch any of those cool shows about the Roman times where Caesar's coming back after a big battle and they're throwing all this stuff around. People line the streets, celebration erupts, honor is given. That's the picture here, but nobody could put on a party like heaven could put on a party. The Romans in their wildest dreams could not have come up with anything like Jesus ascending into heaven. Jesus completed the mission. Sin is defeated, death is defeated, and now he returns in triumph. So the ascension reminds us that Jesus is not weak. He's not defeated. He's reigning. He doesn't weep because he died on the cross. He's not defeated because he died. He rose again and bought salvation for all of us. He's not defeated. He's reigning. The Bible says Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. And look, this phrase means a lot. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Look at Hebrews 1, verse 3. The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. And he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. When he had cleansed us from our sins, he sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. Does that sound like somebody's defeated? Or does that sound like a conquering hero come home to be exalted? Truth is, Jesus sat down because the work of salvation was complete. Now, it's interesting that when I preached at Remnant a few weeks ago when Stephen was martyred, it says that Jesus stood and welcomed Stephen home. He said, I see the Son of Man standing. It's so important. Work of salvation was complete, but Jesus is giving honor to Stephen too, so he stands when Stephen comes home. Under the Old Testament system, priests never sat down in the temple because their work was never finished. Sacrifice after sacrifice, day after day, year after year. But Jesus offered himself once for all. Then he sat down. Finished. Complete. Job's over. See, in the Old Testament, our sins kept you had to keep going once a year, once every 6 months, whatever it was, to the temple to have your sins forgiven. And they were never really forgiven. They're just kind of pushed back. But you had to offer a sacrifice, you know, two doves or a lamb or a bull. Blood had to be shed for your sin to be forgiven. But it had to do it again. You had to do it again the next year, the next year, the next year, the next year. Jesus came and said, no, that's done. I am the lamb that was slain. Done. It's over. A lot of Christians kind of live like Jesus, you know, is pacing around in heaven. Boy, I hope this salvation thing works out. No. No. He sat down. Mission accomplished. Done deal. Where'd he sit? The right hand. The right hand represents authority. In Scripture, the right hand symbolizes power and authority. Look at Ephesians 1, 20 through 22. It raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but in the world, also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. Truth is, Jesus is reigning over all things. Not someday, not some long pie in the sky, right now. And I know sometimes it doesn't feel that way, right? I mean, you look around and it's chaos. Like Jeff Foxworthy said, it's pandelirium. We look around, we see chaos, we see violence. The New York Knicks won the championship and they set fire to their own city. Morons. And you see that and you think, this place is nuts. We We see confusion. We see brokenness. And it makes us wonder, is God really in control? The ascension of Christ into heaven, seated at the right hand of God, answers yes. Christ reigns even in the world, even when the world feels out of control. I don't fly much. I haven't flown in years and don't plan to anytime soon. I don't like it. I'm not in control. But I remember flying, we left Yuma in a little prop airplane to fly to Phoenix. And, okay, first of all, this is how weird I am. The whole time we're flying, I keep looking at the propellers on the plane because I remember when I was a kid that when I built a model plane, the propellers were always the first things to fall off. So I'm watching the propellers. And it wasn't until we landed that I thought, well, Jerry, what were you going to do if you saw something wrong with the propeller? You're going to go out and grab it? But as we went over into some mountains getting ready to come down into Phoenix, you go through this mountain range and you hit turbulence. And it feels like your liver is going to get shaken out. And the pilot gets on the radio, you know, he says, we're about to hit turbulence coming into Phoenix. Nothing to worry about. Really? Nothing to worry about? Because it feels like we're going to die. I'm grabbing the armrest. People are praying. I'm praying. I pray to Jesus. I pray to Buddha. I'm not taking any chances. I'm just kidding. But the pilot's not panicking. Why? He's in control. He's got the little joystick thing there. The passengers feel chaos, but the pilot sees the bigger picture. This is just rough air, and we'll be below it in a few seconds. You may not understand everything happening around you, but Jesus is still on the throne. I've used the analogy so many times that when we look at our lives, it's like looking at the back of a tapestry. You ever seen those beautiful tapestries? And you look at it, it's such a beautiful picture. But if you look at the back of a tapestry, it is chaos. There's threads everywhere. It doesn't look like anything. We look at our lives, we look at the back of the tapestry. We just see all these loose threads and things like this. This is never going to make any sense. God is looking at the front. Jesus is looking at our life and saying, this makes sense, this makes sense, this fits here, this fits here. Everything's fine. We're going to be okay. Ascension also means that Jesus is interceding for us. Oop, got ahead. Romans 8:34, who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us, and he's sitting in the place of honor, God's right hand, pleading for us. He is Perry Mason in heaven for us. Now, some of you younger people may not know who Perry Mason is. You have to be old like me to remember Perry Mason. He was a lawyer, and he always got the truth. He always interceded for people who everybody else thought was guilty. The difference between us, between Jesus and Perry Mason, Jesus knows his client is guilty. We did it. We sinned. We fell short of the glory of God. We deserve to die. But Jesus goes to God for us. See, the Savior who died for you still speaks on your behalf. In the court of life, you're standing before God the judge, and God says, all right, you sinned. You're guilty. And he's right. He's got us dead to rights. Like the British say, it's a fair cop. He's got me. I'm going to die. But then the judge's own son stands next to us and says, you know what? I've already paid for this one. That's intercession. I've already paid the price for this sin. Look, when you fail, when you struggle, when you feel weak, Jesus is still advocating for you. Sometimes our prayers feel like, Lord, help, everything's on fire here. You ever prayed like that to God? God, everything in my life is wrong. Everything's going crazy. Now, not everything's going crazy in your life, or you wouldn't be able to talk. But we get moments when it feels like we're going to die. Jesus knows how to translate all that for us. Why? Remember a couple of lessons ago? Because he was human. He gets it. He's walked it. He's lived it. He gets it. The ascension gives us hope. Why that's there? Oh, I love it. I messed up. All right. Should say the ascension gives us hope. It doesn't. Remember what the angels told the disciples? What is going on? I messed this whole thing up. I'm sorry. Acts 1:11. Men of Galilee, they said, why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he'll return from heaven in the same way. So the ascension of Christ points us to his return. Jesus is coming again. The disciples watched him leave, but they were also given a promise that he will return. Christianity is not the story, not a story about a dead hero from the past. It's the story of a living king who's coming again. No matter how dark the world becomes, history is moving towards Christ's return. No matter how messed up my PowerPoint is, Jesus is in control, and history is hurtling us toward Christ's return. Okay? Let's put it all together. I didn't put this PowerPoint together very well. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. This means Jesus returned in glory. Jesus reigns with authority. Jesus intercedes for believers, and Jesus is coming again. The little boy is flying a kite on a cloudy afternoon, and the kite disappears into the clouds. Another little boy asks him, how do you know the kite's still there if you can't see it? And the little boy says, because I can still feel the pull. We may not see physically, we may not physically see Jesus right now, but we still feel his presence, his guidance, his power, his spirit. And one day, that faith will become sight. No matter how chaotic things become, when I pray, I can still feel that pull. I can still feel that presence of the Holy Spirit. When life feels uncertain, remember, Jesus is not absent. He's reigning. When you feel alone, remember, Jesus is interceding for you. When the world feels chaotic, remember, the king is still on the throne. It's easy to get caught up in the chaos of the world and lose sight of the fact that Jesus is reigning. That he's been given power and authority above everything. That he sustains everything. Let that give you hope. Let that give you courage. Let that give you peace. No matter how chaotic your life is right now, Jesus is still on the throne. This week's discussion questions. Why is the ascension important to understanding Jesus' ministry? All that time we spent talking about the things Jesus did, the people that he healed, and you know, raising Lazarus from the dead, and the sin that he forgave. Why is the ascension important? An important part of that? What does it mean that Jesus seated at the right hand of the Father? Very important. How does knowing that Jesus intercedes for believers encourage you? And it should. Finally, how should Christ's present reign affect the way we live daily? Boy, and that's where the rubber meets the road, isn't it? Knowing all of this stuff should affect us in our daily lives. But how does knowing that Christ is presently reigning in your life, in heaven, in this world, how does that make you, how should that make you live? How should that make your day-to-day life? How should it impact it? That's a deep one. Next week, he will come again to judge the living and the dead. And this one might get a little personal. I've loved teaching this series, by the way, because I love, you know, digging into all the things about the ministry of Jesus in our lives and how the Bible points everything toward Jesus in his ministry. And now we're going to talk about him being our judge, and then talk about the Holy Spirit. And then we're going to talk a little bit about how it relates to each other and to him. It's going to be good as we finish up this series. Another probably 4 weeks, maybe five. I encourage you to walk around in this one today. That Jesus is reigning daily in your life. What does that mean to you? None of what we cover in this can be called unimportant. Keep that in mind, because they're all critical to our faith and our walk in him. I love you guys. It means a lot that you come and listen and be part of these. I hope they bless you. Later today, I'll be teaching one of the earlier series lessons in this series in Pennsylvania. I do a Zoom meeting with them on Tuesdays at 3 o'clock my time, 7 o'clock theirs. A Bible study at the park where I worked out the year before. So I get a chance to walk in these a couple of times. Okay. All right, let's pray. God, thanks. We love you, Lord, and you're so good to us. God, I pray that you'd open our hearts. God, that you would seal these things within us. That you are reigning. You're king over all. That should give us hope that you're in control. We got nothing to worry about. Thanks, Father. Bless us, Lord. Bless us. We ask it in your name. Amen. All right. See you Sunday, or see you next week, or if Jesus comes before that, here, there, or in the air.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us online at remnantchurchiv.com. You've been